right, that's the master himself. Actually, two masters of this medium of song. We have, let me get my notes here. Well, of course, you know Ray Charles, and the other is Eric Clapton, and they came together on this song. One little note, just so that people don't think we didn't note it, and it's grammatical. It should be, none of us is free, but they sing it as none of us are free. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and today I have some questions for you. I hope you can answer them, and authoritatively at that. No little one-line answers. We are looking for serious answers today, which would require you to put some flesh on the bones of your answer. Okay, we have all kinds of things happening, but, you know, what is disturbing more than anything else is that there is a sense, although they're trying to make it look like we are returning to normal. What the heck is normal now? When was the last time you were normal? And returning to normal means what exactly? But this is the effort. You look at how the media organizations are functioning. Their idea is to assure you that things are going back to normal. This whole eruption that we have been through was just that. It was an eruption. It was very serious. It was fatal in the extreme, but we weathered the storm, and we continue to weather the storm, and things are getting better. Whether you believe that or not, I don't, but, you know, this is how life works. We get to appreciate in times like this the use and purpose of institutions, social, political, economic institutions in our society. What are they for? And we see all the time, it happens all the time, they have a sense as to when they should be more pronounced in their presence. They are to be used to calm people down, to bring people back to a sense of normalcy, to take away that edge of uncertainty, and to bring people back to a sense that, well, it was a really rough time, but we're seeing the sunlight now, and things will calm down, and this would soon be a distant memory. I don't think so, but that's how institutions are made to function, to assist those systems that are in power and control, to bring a sense of closure to whatever the disaster was, to officially pronounce it finished. It's dead and gone. And to get ready for a new day. You ease into a new day, and, you know, with a sense of self-congratulation, you've weathered the storm. Hundreds of thousands, in fact, millions have not. But there may be a cosmic reason as to why you prevailed, you and I prevailed. But I'm not saying that that is the purpose. I'm saying that's how institutions are used in our society, to bring a sense of calm, a sense of relief, to bring people back together, to give them a sense of confidence in the future, that we have come through a very rough time, but it's in the rearview mirror right now. And soon we wouldn't even remember how we got through day to day in the midst of this awful pandemic. But that too will be behind us. It would be a historical reference. It's not going to be, you know, a present, clear and present danger anymore. We would have gone beyond it. This is not how it will be, but this is how very frequently societies as a whole, when they have experienced very jarring events and people were driven to the edge of despair, and somehow they managed to get through it, it is the institutions that try to take over. The institutions start, you know, coming into play, and their role is very specific. Their role is to calm us down, to keep us from returning to that place of fear and trepidation and not knowing and insecurity. What these institutions do, and mostly in our experience in the United States, it's a media. You get a lot of stories talking about triumph and how people have prevailed, how they've come through, how they have made tremendous sacrifices. Not because they wanted to, but because they had to. Their bravery, their individual bravery, or how families are dealing with or had dealt with this trauma. And it is all to get us as a nation back on track. It is all about calming us down and telling us there's no reason to be as fearful as we were 6 months ago. The danger is passing. In some cases, it's already passed. And as is the case in America, it is always about what's next. My father, in fact, I think of him all the time. He said, the most important word in your life is next. What's next? And this is where we are. The nation coming to terms with that very question. What's next? What do we do next? What will happen next? How will we live next? All people act all brave and they want to impress themselves and others that, yes, they recognize that they came through a rough patch. But the task now is to put it behind you emotionally, psychologically. Put it behind you as if it was just a blip on the screen. And get on with your life. And you will be surprised, or maybe not, that people will start behaving like that. It will catch on. People will start behaving like nothing happened or nothing serious happened. Nothing really serious happened. They were able to cope and they came through. This is about shaping the attitude psychologically, shaping the attitude of success and conquest over adversity. when the fact is, we don't even know where we are in the scheme of things and how in the next week things might change. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for the possibility that this coronavirus could decide that it's time for a redo? We don't know. So in life, this is how we get through things. We participate in the mythology because it makes us feel better and safer. It comforts us to think that we were stronger than the forces that were against us. We prevailed. That must mean we're special. When in fact, it just means that most of us were just lucky. But when we start thinking we were special, that's when the nation capitalizes on these feelings, on these thoughts, and goes back to the business of nation building. We see that in the political realm, no time was lost. They went right back to their stupid way of operating very quickly, of fighting needlessly, I might add. And that is their way of saying, well, we're getting back to normal. When in fact, this entire, the Congress, the White House, they were all terrified. They had no answers. They didn't know what was going to work and how long it would take to work. They had no answers for these things. Now they're acting as if, well, this is our job after all. We guide the ship of state. You can trust us. And we'll get variations on that theme. But the fact is that an invisible hand is whom or what we have to thank. So far, as I said, this isn't over. This is far from over. But we do have a sense of relief, however temporary, we'll take it and make the best of it. I just don't want you to lapse into that realm of make-believe where you think, as so many people do in times like this, that all is well again. Don't think that. Lessons are to be learned. Experiences are to be cherished because they are to teach us something. And we move cautiously because the fact is, wait for it, it's jarring. We don't know. That's the truth. We don't know. And that's, we should keep that at front and center of our thoughts. Okay, so I'm asking you some questions today. And I would like, to the best of your ability, that you come up with some answers worth considering. I'm going to read several of them off. They're not in any particular order, but they should start conjuring up in your minds, you know, your own answer to what's next. Will current social, political, and economic conditions encourage or discourage the formation of new or newer movements and social systems. To address impediments to democracy as we know it. That's a question. It's a loaded one, but it's a question. As you see it, what is the purpose of a government? That question asks you to revisit the last year and to help us understand from your perspective what the government did, how it responded, how it didn't respond. And do we tolerate it? Here's another question. Is democracy as we know it sustainable? Have we outgrown it, or has it outgrown us? I know, you say, what happened to you over the weekend, Utrees? Where are these questions coming from? These are the questions that the citizenry, the people, should be examining and asking, especially in the immediate aftermath of this drama that we've been through and still are going through. These are the questions we should be asking. Are you concerned about President Joe Biden and his administration? What right moves has he made? What wrong moves has he made? Are lawmakers really interested in our views and opinions on legislative matters? How would we know? And the final question on my list, have you ever switched or considered switching parties or refused to openly support a party, and why? Good God, you're saying, you trace what happened to you over the weekend. You're so solemn. Give us a little break to recoup. But it's like a list of pile driver questions that I ask you to consider and to react to, because it is the perfect time to do that. We have to assess what happened to us as a nation, as citizens, as people, as a neighborhood, as a community, as a family. We have to put it in proper perspective. Then we can see it is not about, you know, standing on the outside looking in. We're in. We are the people. But we have been lassoed into a situation, into a system in which our questions are seldom answered or even asked or even pondered. And it's a good time, like any other time, it's a good time to start asking some of these questions and to share our views. Let's start with Neil from Connecticut. Hello, Neil. You're on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well.
So I'm calling in with much love and respect for you and the show to correct your grammar, Professor Leeds.
Okay.
You made a point of correcting Ray and Eric. So I thought, well, you made a point of it, so I should make a point of challenging your correction. So none of us are free, even if you subtract the of us, which is a plural inclusive word, us, you're left with none is free, according to your way of seeing it. None is free. I would argue that none are free sounds better, flows better. And if even if you try to supplant the word none with some kind of synonym or equal term, you could say no one. None of us are free, or none of us is free, as you would say. If you say no one are free, then that would be awkward.
Yes, it would. But it would be the incorrect interpretation of the word none. None in this sense means not one.
Correct.
Not
So
one of
not
us
one.
is free. So don't say not one of us are free. Not one of us
Correct.
is free.
Correct. But if you go back to the original word, none, it's just not really an equivalent of not one.
No, I see where your point of view is, but strictly
A
speaking,
plural term. So
it's
none are free. None of us are free. I would
no,
argue that
because
Mr. Charles and Mr. Captain are.
the word none means not one of us is free.
Not literally, Eutrice. That's why I had to call in. It's not literally.
Okay.
So, with
But
apologies.
since it's a small thing, but I know the English language very well, and that's really what it is. It's just a small thing, but it happens all the time in our society, all over the world, where people sometimes react to how things sound, as opposed to the strict interpretation of the word none, for example. The word none means not one. And then if you have a verb that goes with that, not one of us is free.
But that's
Not
not
one
what
of
they're
us is
saying.
free.
They're saying none. So if you go down to the base, if you just reduce it, it's to say none is free is
Right.
awkward.
It may
It's
be
awkward.
awkward, but it's correct.
All right. Well, I offer
Grammatically
my opinion
speaking, it is
as
correct
a
to say none of us is free, meaning
I did
not
graduate.
one of us is free.
Well, then it's just a matter of choice, I guess. But this comes from
No, it's
a
grammar.
graduate of
This is
I did
these are the
graduate
rules of
university.
grammar.
I
It's not.
graduated the City University of New York with a degree in English. So you're talking to the English major from heck.
Okay. I have a distinction in the English language. And I've been an editor for a very long time.
Yes, I know. I'm
English
coming up.
is a language that I know very well. And it was just a point. It was just a point. It doesn't make the song irrelevant. Quite the opposite. The song is quite well relevant. But it was a
Absolutely.
point. And it should have been made to the artists. Not one of
Well,
us is.
I'm on their side, just for the record. I'm on their side.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with
All the
that.
best, sir.
Lincoln from New York, you're on the air. What do
Hi,
you which
good
question will you tackle today?
Yeah, good day, Eutrice. I want to
Hello.
tackle brief. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, I want to tackle what's next and the statement you made, the clause, what's next, and also the meaning, the purpose of government. Briefly, what's next have been used forever. Like, they go to war, they kill 3 million Vietnamese, and then we move on like nothing happened. We go to Libya, we destroy a country, and we kill the leader brutally in the street, and we go on. We don't say, let's take the president and his secretary to trial for that murder and that destruction of the country that was once the most successful African state. 9/11 comes, and we see all kinds of inconsistencies with 9/11, like Building 7 falling, and not even a raindrop hit it, and yet it fell demolition style, and we go on like nothing happened. We see all the inconsistencies around this present situation, you know, I mean, COVID-19, and also around, like, the election and, you know, a very unresolved things, like, for example, the Russia hoax, you know, what you call it, what's his name? Fred Rich, the DNC fellow, who was most likely the person who leaked the information to WikiLeaks, and he was assassinated in D.C., and we go on like nothing else happened, and we all conveniently keep going on, even the so-called progressives, even the people on this particular forum here, you know, they just go from one to the other. Once their own little proclivities and their own little feelings are satisfied, you know, no one really stopped to say, let's really delve into the depths of this. Like, even the approach to Trump, etc. Most times it was approached superficially, just out of the Trump deranged syndrome, just to satisfy people's little idiosyncrasies and proclivities. You know, and so we keep going on. And they use this going on technique to dumb us down. We don't realize that. And they do all kinds of wickedness, and we go on like nothing else happened. Like, look at the George Floyd thing. Look how big, what a big thing was made of that, rightfully so. But that is nothing compared to what was done to Libya and Gaddafi. Nothing compared to that, okay? But they conveniently choose these things they highlight to continue to control the masses and the superficiality of the masses. And when I say the superficiality of the masses, I'm talking about even those of us in this forum who have so-called sometimes 20 PhDs and all kinds of distinctions, but yet they keep us on a superficial level. And we think that because we have scholarship and like academics behind us, we are not superficial. But yes, indeed we are, and that's why we keep going on from tragedy to tragedy and from wickedness to wickedness, and we pretend that they do not occur. And so we make a big thing of one police killing, but 7 million people who were killed in the Congo. It was like 7 million flies were swatted away, you see? And look at that. We don't see, you know, how we are being misconstrued and misled by the what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next. And we think we're all deep and smart because we're all talking, putting up a statue of George Floyd, put up a statue of the 7 million Congolese who were killed. That's what we should do. And so government, the purpose of government, the purpose of government is to serve the people. The purpose of government is to function like managers of a people. When I say managers, in a servant capacity, not in a boss capacity. You know, it's supposed to function like the brain. The brain, even though it's such a wonderful organ and so special, it serves every part of the body. It serves to try to send the nutrients. It regulates how much go here, how much go there, And it doesn't behave like it's better than the rest of the body. It performs as a part of the whole. And government should be treated. People in government, we tend to have an abstract approach to it rather than a concrete. And government should be treated like a part of the whole. Everyone in society is a laborer. The factory worker is a laborer. But the president is also a laborer. The Congress people are laborers. The police is a laborer. The soldier is a laborer. The mechanic is a laborer. The artist is a laborer. No matter how much fame you have, we are all laborers. We are all just like a cell in this big organism called society and the existence of human beings. And if we think like this, all of us collectively, then there would be no chance of government misbehaving. There would be no chance of a Bill Gates or whoever be misbehaving. Look at the Queen of England. What purpose does she serve? None. But yet we bow down to them. They should dispense with them, giving them millions of dollars while people are starving, while people are homeless. We need to change our minds. And then we truly awaken. A lot of these discussions we have, we're really not addressing anything. We come and we throw our vocabularies, etc., about the place, and we pretend, oh, I was running for this, and I was this, and I was in so many demonstrations. So what? You go to all these demonstrations, and yet you're still a slave to the thinking they are pushing on us. And that is my 2 cents for today.
Well, it's more than 2 cents. I can guarantee you that. A great instruction that you have shared with us today. And a great reminder as to what we ought to be thinking about. And I want to thank you for reminding us to keep perspective. Because the other side seems to prevail more often than we do. And that other side presents for us choices that are fatal to our interests. But we go along. And it's time for us to apply the brake and think a little bit more deeply, more cognitively about what it is we are doing as citizens. How are we fitting into the overall plan to get people conditioned to accept what truly is abominable and to begin to affirm our own rights? We have rights, and we should affirm our rights and see ourselves not as passive observers, but as people who can influence the changes that we so desperately need. That is a potent reminder that you offered us today, and I thank you for it. I thank you for bringing us back to our senses. Thank you very much, Lincoln, for your offering today.
Yeah, I'll visit another time.
Thanks so much. Patricia from New York, you're on the air. Patricia, you're on the air. Oh, we're not hearing Patricia. Okay, Brother David from Brooklyn. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello.
I think I'm going to take on the part where we want to talk about democracy and government. To me, democracy is a nice idea where people have a part in deciding things, deciding what they want to do, and so forth. However, in this society, democracy to me is an illusion. In other words, I think of it as something that it is drummed into people's brains that they live and have a democracy when they really don't. The democracy we think we have is really a plutocracy, a government by the rich and powerful. And the fact is that living in a capitalist system like the one we have is not compatible with having a real democracy. So most people have it drummed into their heads in all the forms of communication and so-called learning that you live in democracy and you don't. And that's clear because there are a significant number of people that live here that don't live very good lives in terms of the economy and conditions of life in this country. And the purpose of government goes along right with that. To me, the purpose of government, as I see it here, is to carry on the program of what the ruling class wants to happen. So you're given the illusion that you have democracy, but you really have a ruling class that is functioning in the interests of itself at the expense of the people. So we are confused, we're lied to all the time, and the fact of the matter is, how can you have really real democracy when you live in a nation state that is the leader of the largest empire in the world? And why would anyone who's leading an empire and controlling and managing the empire with all its tentacles to control people, nations throughout the world, want democracy? So their trick is to confuse people, like the usual rhetoric that says the free world and Cold War rhetoric, democracy, and not have a democracy at all. Because if we had democracy here and around the world, there'd be no poor people. There'd be no people living in the type of poverty that we see in many parts of the world. So we're dealing with one thing, democracy is illusion, and the purpose of the government, national, local, and world government is to maintain the power in the small ruling class that runs this country and the world. So all this stuff about these elections and whatnot, they're completely rigged, these parties. We have no party, no party that represents the interest of the masses of people that live in this country. Republican, Democrat, I never said they were the same, but they have the same mission, and maintaining control in the hands of the ruling class and tricking the people thinking they have democracy where things are in the interest and benefit the masses of people. The only way they can do that is to fool people, have people thinking that they have democracy as they maintain control. They don't want to lose control. They want to manage the people. So it's necessary to drum into people's heads that they have something that they don't really have.
Well, you have a handle on this. And it seems so clear that you understand all the moving parts of this issue. Why is it that the larger society doesn't seem to have a handle on it?
Well, that to me is easy. This is the way I look at it. The ruling class, that small fraction of a 1%, is so skillful, so brilliant, so successful that they can guide the way people have their minds work. So they control all the levers that are important. They control the schools. They control the media. All forms of media they control. So no matter how many of the masses of people there are, that small group is able to control their minds, and it is just brilliant how they're able to do it. I run into this every day talking to people, and, you know, it just amazes me that the lies of the ruling class and the control of the ruling class is so effective. The point is they are so effective that the masses of people in this country, as I see it, they don't even understand that they have a ruling class. They think they have a democracy, government by the people and for the people and all of that. But the point is they don't realize how they're being manipulated. And we can see that in a number of ways. And one way right now is all these talk that is allowed to go on about the virus. So the people go along with the ruling class and the ruling class's ability to have them thinking that the only answer to the COVID-19 situation is one thing, and that's to take an experimental vaccine. So that's just an example of many things that we are suffering with because we don't understand the nature of the system that we're living in and how it does damage to the people here and throughout the world. And we are given this thing about democracy, which to me is not what we have.
Thank you. Wow, today it seems as if we saved the best for today, huh? We got some really good pointers from Lincoln. And now you coming through, David, following up. It's like a 1-2 punch. If people just don't get this, I don't know. They need to go someplace and find out if they're still alive or had they died and they didn't know it. But thank you so much for contributing today and reminding us what our collective reality is. Thank you so much. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Nutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. And I, too, would like to wish you a belated happy birthday.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
So I would just like to expand on David's excellent explanation, because that was a conversation that I just had with a dear, dear friend of mine. And it was actually around the COVID vaccine. And, you know, when I explained to him that this country will do things that are not in the best interest of the populace as a whole, this is someone, again, who I know, whose opinion I value, and he looked at me in absolute disbelief. So, for example, I think this country is going to see firsthand next year in the midterm elections and then followed by the 24 elections, whether or not democracy truly exists in the way that they believe democracy exists, because that January 6th insurrection in the Capitol was just a prelude to what's going to happen next year. Because with all of the changes in these elections, and in some of the states, they are going to be able to overturn the results if they don't like it. And so what I portend, and I hope that I am wrong, but I believe that come next year, when all of these election changes are tested, if we think what we saw on January 6th this year was something, next year and 24 is going to be worse. You know, if we truly had democracy in the sense that people believe, this country for the last 50 years and beyond would not have engaged in regime change in governments that they don't like. Regime change is to continue to consolidate power and control for that very tiny members of the oligarchy, not just in this country, but around the world. And it's going to be the lines between the Democrats and the Republicans are going to get blurred even more. Because right now, what you really have, when you look at Biden and Biden's administration, he has kept a lot of the Trump edicts in place, you know, as quiet as it's kept. He has not overturned a lot of the Trump policies. Certainly the situation with the children in Texas in those detention camps, he hasn't overturned that, those things. He had the Department of Justice has not begun to look into all of the Trump the things that Trump did, you know, the obstruction of justice following the release of the Mueller report, what he did clearing the protesters out of Lafayette. They haven't decided to look into that, and they're in power now. Their Justice Department could do a lot of investigation into Trump. You see, the lines are being blurred. People are beginning to really see that there really is not that different. The DNCC just they just received a report that was conducted by an independent consultant group. They wanted to analyze the 2020 election. They wanted to see where they went wrong, because what should have happened in the 2020 election didn't happen. They lost a lot of ground. They lost ground among blacks. They lost ground among Latinx people, and they can't figure out what went wrong. And so the report said a couple of things. The report said that the Democrats weren't able to articulate their message well, and that the Republicans We're gonna see that whole concept of democracy is gonna be tested next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen,
it's not gonna be pretty.
What do you think needs to happen to get people to essentially, you know, the phrase used to be think outside the box, but it appropriately expresses what needs to be done. You can't hold on to the old ways of thinking, because the old ways of thinking are not good ways of thinking. How do you formulate new approaches? How does that work?
But David told us why it's never going to work. Because the information that people need, they are not getting, because their sole source of information is the media. And who is in control of the media? That small percentage, that small group of oligarchs. That's why the whole issue of being able to own not only paper, print media, but television and radio media was so important, because they then consolidated all of the information that people now consume.
Do you think, just to say, that there are ways in which individuals can get around this, or is it so insurmountable that they might as well just give up?
You know, I tend to be an optimist, but in this particular area, I think it's insurmountable. I really do. Because it's taken us, look how many years it's taken us just to go from the 60s to today in terms of the information that we need to free our minds. And look how many people are still not free.
If you were to put in order of importance three things that must happen and should start happening now, what would be on that list?
I would have to say that people need to focus. They need to inform their neighbors. Start with informing your neighbors. Start talking to your neighbors. Start providing your neighbors with the information that they need to address local politics. And that's actually what I did this year in New York. I organized forums around elected officials in three particular categories this year for the tenants where I live, so that people could have an opportunity to get the information that they're going to need to go to the polls, because people truly believe in the electoral process. So you have to meet people where they are. And so if you're going to do that, then begin to organize locally, which means begin to provide people with the information that they're going to need to go to the polls to make informed and hopefully correct decisions. Start locally.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Very much so. Well, as usual, a great deal of enlightenment coming from you and others today, Neil, Lincoln, and David. Thank you all for stretching out a little bit and making it even more plain where we are. And where we are situated as against an organized system that seems to have inexhaustible resources to do what it intends to do. But we have to get serious. We have to get serious. And we have to be intelligent in how we organize now. We can't use the same old 1960s methods and think that, you know, the other side is fighting that fight. No, they're beyond that. They are seeing the fight as completed in this time, that they're close to completing the cycle. And so if we think that we have to wait for more signals, you know, to find out whether they actually are contemplating doing this or doing that, We're slow. They already are putting into effect what they want. And what they want is absolute control over everybody else. Mm-hmm. Small group, and they control everything and everybody else. And we have to get serious about that and accept that as the reality that we live every single day. Thanks so much, Patricia, for calling in and contributing. Thank you all for calling in and contributing. This is the reason we have a program and a radio station dedicated to sharing information that is useful, in fact, necessary in educating yourself and educating others. It's very, very important to undertake this task. And, you know, don't get bogged down in useless endeavors. You see the big picture. Trust yourself that it is the big picture. And you, in your own way, can fashion a response that helps to preserve the interests of yourself, people like you, the communities like yours. And that's how we have to function. We have to switch up a little bit. But we cannot ignore what we are seeing, what we're looking at. what the effects are going to be. And we have to have, you know, the tenacity to stay on course and to continue to educate ourselves, because it's becoming more and more complex. They are also of that opinion. They no longer can do the old okey-doke and get away with it. They have come to realize that the people they wish to control are becoming more and more sophisticated, more and more educated, more and more capable of seeing their sleight of hand. So they are amending their methods to be ahead of anything they anticipate that the people would do in terms of reaction. Thank you so much for contributing today. We'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.